Hi, welcome to Authentic Conversation with Kim. I hope that this podcast finds you well. As fitting as always, thank you so much for allowing Authentic Conversation with Kim to be a part of your day. I have to say that oftentimes I really hold back from expressing in depth more so of what I really feel. It's not that it's not authentic. It's just that, you know, I feel like I have to be very careful about what I say and how I say it, right? And, you know, everything that you think ain't supposed to be said. And then I recognize also that this is a platform that has been created, and therefore there is no willing it back or pulling it back or saying no. And if you see how intriguing technology and internet and all this stuff has been, you know, my mom used to say all the time, and this is when we were young, and she hasn't even, you know, been around with the magnitude of where we are now with the video recordings and Facebook and all this other stuff, right? But she used to always say, be careful what you write. Be careful what you write. Remember, we used to keep journals and all this other stuff. Because, again, now when we do stuff and we say stuff and we take videos and pictures and all this stuff, is out there. And we don't know where it goes. Even when you delete it, it's not deleted. It's somewhere, sitting somewhere. And at any moment, if hashtag Kim, hashtag authentic conversation with Kim, hashtag the black lady, whatever, and then it come up, and it's like, remember when you said so-and-so, so I try to be very, very careful. Now, please understand, when I say what I say, 9 out of 10, I mean it. Now, outside of me finding out that I misspoke, I can always come back and do a correction or rectify it. But I also find too that people have a tendency that even when you come back to make a correction, they still hold on to the error in which you said, right? In order to see, okay, well, you made a mistake or you made an error, or, and you like, wait a minute, I just told you, it's just like the pencil and you erased it and then you put the right number there. People still see the fact that there was an erase, a mark, right? Or that you put a line through it and you like, the line means that you ignore this. The line means that this no longer is valid. The line means that no, right? We're not dealing with this. We moving on. And so I just try to be very, very mindful and careful. And even in the fact that y'all know over the few years, you know, I have gotten so much better in how I deal with my anger or deal with my attitude or deal with my emotions or and express it, because the whole point of the platform and for us is to become better people, you know, and to have actually seen the change and the transformation and whatever it is that we're striving for, change and transformation. Okay, hallelujah. And now, you know, since I'm so upbeat in this, you know, I'm coming to address something, right? So I find that we are so self-righteous and so indignant on so many levels that it's ridiculous. And this is across the board. It doesn't have anything to do specifically with race. It's just human, right? It's just humanity in and of itself. We could be so indignant and so self-righteous when it comes to certain things in our society and amongst each other. And I get fear is fear, but then you're also taught that, well, life is not fair. What are we choosing? Are we choosing life is not fair or fear is fear? You understand what I'm saying? What are we choosing in regards to who gets what? Right? On our side, they side, his side, her side, whatever. And again, luck and chance comes to all, right? And I was just writing this thing, and I wish I could find it. I wrote this thing, and it was just so applicable to this time, because we do live in this dichotomy of, you know, actual theology and philosophy, and then the actual practice thereof. We live in that dichotomy. So you can easily sit and tell me, okay, if you do this is going to be the result. But then you as an individual who actually puts that in practice or aims to put that in practice and don't get the result thereof, then there's a dichotomy, because you say, if I do A, then this is the result of A. However, A, when you do A, may vary depending on the person and how they do it, if they do it, when they do it, or who the person is and what their mindset is, what the world is going, what is going on in the world, how God perceives it. So I believe and I perceive that there is a dichotomy and actual the ologies and the practice. Okay, now having said that, moving forward and extending the self-righteous and indignant part of who we are. My biggest thing, and this just came to me on yesterday, and we say it all the time, don't hate the player, hate the game. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Now, we understand that people make decisions. Decisions affect people. And we also understand that we choose based on so many different factors, demographics, so on and so forth, what we perceive, experience, da 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 da, in that decision. We also understand that decisions produce outcomes, and no decision is still a decision. What I want us to be mindful of is that we are not in control of the next man's decisions. Now, you could be persuasive, which I know I'm not a big person on persuading anybody to do anything. You could be influential. You understand what I'm saying? You can bogard, like you can hold somebody hostage. Like you, there's several ways that you could get somebody to make a decision. But again, we got to consider legality and all this other stuff. And again, who do we think we are? Who do we think we are on the any side of the equation? Who? And I need help with this. I'm mindful that, and y'all know we'll be talking about this soon because Easter is coming. Resurrection Sunday is coming, right? Predicated on your faith, your belief, or even if you don't believe, we know that there's a time in the world where we celebrate Jesus risen, Savior, crucified, risen, right? Now, picture this. He on the cross. And on one side, they say there's a thief. And on the other side, there's a thief. But yet and still, he's on a cross and he has not stole anything, right? But we understand that if you read the story, that they wanted to crucify him, or he was supposed to be crucified, however, whatever it was, it got him to the cross. Now, while he's on this cross, there's two thieves, left and right of him. And one is like, well, if you be the Son of Man, then you need to, like, come on and get me out of this situation. And, you know, come on, let's run it. You know what I mean? The other one is like, how dare you talk to the man of God like that? Blah, 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 blah. And him and not acknowledging the sovereignty and the spirit of the Lord that was very present there and just asking for forgiveness. Jesus turns to him and says, this day you shall be with me in paradise. So you have two thieves. And on the cross, one thief is just like, yo, just get us out of this situation. So I, in my mind, so he could go steal some more. The other thief is like, okay, we are the ones who done wrong, and therefore we'll take our penalty, therefore whatever it may be. And because he was genuine and accepted his fate or whatever it was, he ends up getting this blessing and this privilege from God. Having said that, chance and fate, chance and opportunity, different things come to us all. It's not so much of having a slap on the wrist or having gotten mercy or having gotten forgiveness or been excused from whatever it is, because we've all done stuff, people ain't done heinous stuff. And again, a lot of our stuff, thank you God, hallelujah, ain't been broadcast to the world. And I'm not justifying or making excuses for anybody. God knows I'm not. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, when we consider that we have all been in situations that have not been the best in our character, the best in our development, the best in life, and have even taken lives, whatever, knowingly or unknowingly, on the side, whatever, and receive this mercy. My thing is, and receive this grace and receive this slap on the wrist or receive or whatever. The individual heart is what matters at the end of the day. And the prayer would be and the hope would be that one, that you will understand that you've been excused or you've been forgiven or you've been exonerated or whatever from something that should have never happened. And going forward, how are we living our lives? Because that's the concern. What we don't want people to think that, okay, we could just treat people any kind of way and y'all hear me, or devalue life or devalue people or feel some kind of way or join in something that is not conducive to the whole or to somebody's livelihood and think that that's okay, because that's a mentality, that's a problem. But what we also don't want is the fact that, okay, we've been exonerated and forgiven, which was just ministered on yesterday, and by the greatest of our sins. And again, this is for faith-based people who believe and say that they believe in Jesus and say that, you know, they're Christians and say that they have some level of faith and understand that human nature in and of itself needed to be redeemed. And the fact of the matter is, obviously, we and people not doing their jobs if the redemption process is not even being perceived in the lives of individuals that's right before us on a day-to-day basis. And then it becomes this racial situation, and it's a distraction to the individual's actual makeup of their heart, mind, and their soul, even in an extension of the color of their skin. And we do recognize there are certain privileges that are afforded for whatever reason, and they exist. But what we can't say either, you know, on the other side, culturally, where you haven't been blessed or where you haven't been privileged or where you haven't been favored or where you have, you know, where you've been blessed or where you fared well because you went and took some extra actions or you met the right person or you was in the right situation or somebody didn't see you or the camera wasn't on or whatever. So I think we need to be very mindful of our conversations going forward. There's some other things that I see in the dynamic of what's been going on in the last few weeks, but I refrain from discussing it at this time, as I don't think that it is in my best interest to say so, right? So, but again, we have to open our eyes and see what's currently going on and how things are playing out in regards to what our conversation will be with each other, because I 9 out of 10 fairly presuming that certain people won't ever hear this conversation that we're having, right? But amongst ourselves and amongst our family, amongst our friends and whomever, that conversation has to be a conversation that is about making us better and not bitter, making us mindful of the situations that are happening and helping us to help our children, no matter what color they are. There should be no child sitting anywhere on trial for anything, personally, in my opinion. I don't care what color they are. They're still children. And the whole thing about it is, again, we don't want to give them a mindset that you don't have to be respectful or you don't have to be mindful or you don't have to care about somebody else because we don't care that you care and you don't have to care. Like, that's what we don't want. And that's for any child. And it is sad that how when you do look at the pictures and you do look at the files and you do look at the documents and you do look at the sayers and you do look at the courts and you do look at certain things, how there has been an unleveled, uneven, unfair across the board. It is. But that's the game. And so for us, the aiming and constantly keeping our children out of harm's way. And we have to be more mindful and more knowledgeable. And now that we have more knowledge and more information of how to safeguard our children or how to not put them in harm's way or how to inform them of certain things, then we do that. And so I'm just being mindful of the fact that there are wolves in the world, there are sheep in the world, There are predators in the world. There is prey in the world. There is innocent, and then there is guilty on so many levels. And I feel sometimes that people have fallen into many of these categories or practicing these categories unbeknownst to us, and yet still become so self-righteous and so indignant to point a finger as to what or how or when something should or supposed to happen or what should have happened. When you got people who have made a decision and decided what's not going to happen, or they've decided to, you know, well, we'll sacrifice this for the sake of that. And that's a big one. The sacrifice. But my thing is, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The sacrifice that Jesus made for us is an ultimate sacrifice, a redemptive sacrifice, a blessing sacrifice, a victorious sacrifice. To forgive us, to accept us, to provide for us, to divinely impart in us, to protect us, to guide us, to keep us, to love us, to join us, to extend us. That's the sacrifice that I look to, that I think of, that I'm mindful of. And so you got some people that's making sacrifices to the wrong thing. And we just, Lord, have mercy and plead the blood of Jesus. But I just pray that we be mindful, we be safe. We don't be on the bandwagon. We ain't talking crazy. You know what I'm saying? We not engaging in anything. Because this is another thing, too, that I thought about. So you have one incident that's not a nice incident. Then you come to add to that incident to make it not nicer incident. And then you add. And then it's just this whole big thing of anarchy. And in anarchy, somebody is more or less subject to be hurt. And so at what point do we stop and think and allow whatever is going to be? And it's not being punked. It's not being played. But I feel like, and lately this is what I've been saying, and somebody told me this too, like a lot of stuff that's happening don't have nothing to do with me. It speaks more about the individual than it does about me. And if somebody feels that it is okay to devalue somebody's life, it speaks about them. It doesn't speak about me. But for me to get out here and now I'm cussing and I'm screaming and I'm fighting and I'm throwing this and da da, now what's the difference? There is no difference. We all been barbaric. We all been unruly. And even though you're not physically out there doing anything, the way you think and the way you talk and the way you grimy on the inside of your heart, it's no difference. People are killing people with their words. People are killing people with their spirits. People are killing people on so many different levels outside of actually gunning them down in the street. And you've been forgiven or you've been exonerated or don't nobody know yet or whatever. And you up here sitting here doing mischief and have the audacity to feel like if you're better than somebody who, because they publicly have been called out. And what I do know is that all our stuff, everything, every word, every deed, every action, all of it is going to be called into question. And that's predicated whether you believe or you don't believe. Nobody, none of us gets to escape this. None of us. So regardless of what don't come out in the wash, it's going to come out in the rinse. Regardless of however it appears to be looking as if the man is, people are just doing whatever and they just having a field day and all this stuff. It says men's sins are not really be dealt with. And so they continue on in them. And so until we start having people that have genuine hearts and have a connection to what is divinely considered to be good behavior and bad behavior, and we've able to really make that distinction, and then again in our homes, and we're teaching what is right and what is wrong, and we're implanting those things within our children and within our communities, and we're uprooting some of this foolish behavior and foolish thought of who you think you are, and that you can't exist without me, or if you exist without me, you a problem, so therefore you don't get to exist, or if you exist, then you have to exist in my rule. Like, that's crazy and that's nuts. And I find it interesting that we can decide, you know, who can be brazen and who can't be brazen, and who can be blunt and who can't be blunt, and who could be nice and who can't be nice. Like, how do we as humanity and as people get to decide that amongst ourselves? And I need help trying to figure it out, because, yeah, it is a level of frustration and disappointment, and especially when you're just trying to be like, okay, oh, let's love. Let's be at peace. Can we all just get along? And I found that that's a no. But we all can at least have some respect for the next man and the fellow man, for value of life, and understand that there's a system in place, right? And so we don't hate the player. We hate the game. Imagine my face.